Jesus, Bill.
Welcome to Hammer Dog!
Dun.
Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the PMI offices.
It's a beautiful Thursday, boys. A beautiful Thursday.
Gorgeous.
Hey, winter football has finally arrived. I'm pumped for it. I am Tone Diggs. Next to me is Pat McAfee.
How's it going, dude?
Good, you?
I'm good, man. After you intro, everybody, I have a thank you to give up.
Gumpy.
Good day, Tony.
Dropping nukes on all the stuff he does. Good to have you here.
Thank you, sir.
And our former NFL GM hosts a lot of shows. A
lot of them.
Make sure you subscribe to the Daily Coach. Michael Lombardi, how are you today, sir?
Good day. I don't say good day, Tone, as well as my man Gump does. I kind of like how he does it. It's so polite. It's
Canadian nice. He's Canadian, Mike. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
He's fresh out of Canada, but he knows nothing about the country.
True.
It's a very interesting dynamic. We have a Canadian expert who's not exactly a – he's a Canadian and an expert, but he's not a Canadian expert. But Gumpy's our man. Speaking of being polite, thank you for allowing me to be a part of the Daily Coach. I appreciate that. That was so nice of you, man. I've been subscribed to the Daily Coach for the past like month, I think. It's something I look forward to in the morning. Just a short little blurb from people that are much smarter and people that are motivators about a way to look at your day. I've been a big fan of it since I've subscribed to it. Not a newsletter guy, by the way. Hate emails coming to my email thing that I don't need. But I've been a big fan. Yesterday, I really appreciate it. I want to let you know
you
that.
You deserve it. I mean, I think your story is powerful. You know, when I read that piece in The Athletic, you know, and I didn't write that because I do this show. When I read that piece in The Athletic, you stood for everything that I think that the messaging that piece resonated with me was your ability to believe in yourself. And, you know, the one thing about writing the Daily Coach, I've done this now for 17 months. I don't write every day. We have Coach Raveling writes. I write Kamadi writes on Fridays and Sundays, and we have another kid, Trevor, who writes really well. He wrote today's piece, which was outstanding. But the part of it is there's things that happen in your daily life that you see that resonate with you, that you could tell a tale, you could tell a story. And I think that your story is powerful, that some kid sitting in some high school somewhere in Ohio or California, you know, wants to do something and he reads what you did. It's a powerful way to motivate people, and I think that's what the Daily Coach is all about. Your story resonates.
Well, I appreciate that's really cool of you. I'm just an idiot who does things blindly because I believe in my gut feeling, but I appreciate
you're like that Southern lawyer. You know, I used to tell Jimmy Sexton all the time. You know, Jimmy Sexton's this all shucks guy. You know, he's like Matlock, you know, kind of a chubby guy. Pretends he's got Southern charm, doesn't really pretend he knows anything, and yet he gets the best contracts for everybody. I mean, he just got Gussie Malzahn, $21 million that has to get paid within 30 days when he gets fired. So, like when guys say, "I'm just a," you know, Jimmy got once on that and never again.
It is awesome when everybody thinks you're the dumbest person in the room, though. It is really, you learn a lot about people, you know what I mean? You learn a lot about people, but I've enjoyed that. Thank you so much for the love. I have a lot of respect for you, so thank you. Sorry about that, Diggs.
No.
Wanted to make sure everybody knew that publicly. I got a lot of love for that, and I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you.
No. Thank both
no,
of
no.
you.
No, thank you, Diggs.
Thank you, Tony.
No, Gumpy. Thank you.
Get Sexton on this show one time. You need to get him on the Pat McAfee show. He has a lot of stories to tell. That's fascinating.
Hey, you love Gussie, and he's gone, huh?
Oh, I love. I mean, look, I like Gussie. Brought revolution. You know, when he came in the league, when he was doing at Auburn back in 12 and 13 was good. The problem is Gussie had like David Crosby says, when you're a young singer songwriter, you have, you know, you work on these songs most of your life. So when you give them to a record producer, those 15 songs are you've worked on them for 25 years. You find out your next talent when you write your next album, your second album, your next batch of songs. That's when you know whether you have talent or not.
Oh,
And Gussie's first batch of songs were really good, except he didn't sell any more albums after that first batch.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, hey, I wanted to...
what a good metaphor there.
He's got those dance moves in 21 mil. He's good, man.
He is, dude.
Pay within 30 days, Gump.
Oh, pay within 30.
By the way, think about writing that into the contract. You know what I mean? To your point about Sexton.
How brilliant is that, right? Yeah. Well, if you want to fire him, you got to pay it all up front. Like, most teams, most schools want to defer. That's what fans don't understand. So you get fired, you know, Billy O'Brien got fired from Houston. He has two more years left. Say he's making $8 million a year, right? Wherever he goes, Billy O'Brien is going to offset that $8 million somewhere else. He's getting it per month. And if he wants it sooner, they're going to present value the money. He said instead of taking $8 million right now, he's going to get $4 or $5 million. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pat talks about this on his show. Like, he thought that this year was going to cause maybe some more stability because, you know, it's a COVID year or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But with Gus and with Will Muschamp, he's getting paid like $14 million in his buyout. These schools got a lot more money than they want you to think they got.
You don't say.
No, you don't think it. You know what Auburn did? Auburn called some booster that has a shit ton of money and said, "Hey, this is what we need." And they're like, "Get it."
They called this guy Jimmy Bain. I think he runs. I forget the name of the company he runs. He's in the lumber business. I mean, Auburn's an interesting school. So Auburn has every department has their own boosters. So the basketball department has like two or three guys that basically help their team. The football. This guy, Jimmy, I think it's Bain or Rain.
Rain. Jimmy Rain. R-A-N. CEO of Great Southern Wood. Department.
He's the only one?
I think he has other guys, but I think he wrote the check to say bye-bye to Gussie.
Isn't that crazy how this operates? Because that money is not on the books until they need it, right? So, like, that $21 million, we could still calculate it into the school's fundraising and what football brings into the building or whatever. But they don't need it until they just ask him, "Hey, we want to fire." And he's like, "How much?" Like, $21 million, it's owed within 30 days. Say, "Hey, give it to him today. Here you go." And these guys love their school so much, and they have so much money. They're like, "Yeah, fuck it." Phil Knight with Oregon. I mean, the stuff that he does up there because of Nike, obviously, it's just like some of these schools have a hell of an advantage. But now that name, image, and likeness is starting to pop off in college football, you're going to see those same schools with the Baines and the Rains and everybody, the Phil Knights and everything like that. You're going to see these kids start making a lot of money because Rain will have them come sign at a wood shop and boom, here's a $5,000 or $10,000. It's like, hey, go get your money, kid.
Make a birdhouse, get a couple $1,000.
If everybody else can do it, go do it, man.
Who do you think Auburn's looking at for that job, Mike?
I think Billy Napier from Lafayette would be a great hire for them. I talked to an Auburn alum the other night, and he told me he didn't think that they know what they're really going to do down there. I tried to get involved to try to help them pick a coach, but I haven't heard back from anybody.
What do you do? You just send an email or you go on LinkedIn? What do you do?
I sent the AD my book about 2 years ago and he wrote me a thank you note. So I sent him a text, but I haven't heard back from him. So I obviously didn't like my book.
Lane Kiffin to Auburn. Let's go.
Well, you want to get him out of Ole Miss already?
He'd take the job, I bet.
He would.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how they do that. Lane Kiffin has Jimmy Sexton, so it'll be interesting to see. Gussie Malzahn had Jimmy Sexton. Jimmy Sexton's the
everybody. Saban, I think he's got everybody down there. Kirby.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so Saban. This is a great story. So Sexton used to come over, and my wife Millie, and he would stay at our house when we were in Cleveland. He was just starting out.
Okay.
And I love him. I love him to this death. His brother's my stockbroker. I mean, so. And so he would come to the house, and we became really close friends. And then I would let him in the building in Cleveland because he had a bunch of our players. And then Nick had another agent that he was bitching about all the time. And so when Nick changed, you know, Nick knew Jimmy, and that's kind of how they got together from our experiences together in Cleveland.
And I've heard – by the way, I got called back, summoned back to a meeting. Jimmy Sexton was sitting there. Nick Kahn was there. It was at a CAA wedding, and everybody was so nice. That was my first time meeting him. He was sitting back on this leather couch, just chilling, not saying much, and then a couple laughs, a couple, you know, he's a Southern man. And then he would like come in and say something, and then he'd bounce out, and then he'd relax again. That was my first time meeting him. And then once I started doing some research on him, I'm like, oh, this guy runs – this guy's playing close Sicilian in college football right now. This guy runs everything right now.
He started at Tennessee as the equipment manager, and he's a great story in terms of the daily coach, too. He started as equipment guy, handing out jocks to the players, went to school there, great, you know, smart guy, became friends with Reggie White. Then he got involved with Reggie White on that lawsuit that really ultimately got free agency, him and a lawyer here in Philadelphia named John Langle. And then he ended up. And then one day he's sitting in his office in Memphis when he and Kyle Rote were doing it, and a coach calls him up and says, hey, I got this basketball player. He's going to Portsmouth. I'm not sure he's any good, but would you mind repping him? And Jimmy's like, yeah, sure, I'll come rep him, you know, Scottie Pippen.
Oh, boy, those deals were talked about in The Last Dance, you know.
Yeah. So, anyway, but that was one of those in those Last Dance. But anyway, so, yeah. But don't underestimate the intelligence. That Southern charm that gets you every time.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's awesome, by the way. I have so much fun. I walk into some of these rooms or whatever, you know, and they just look at me because I'm dressed like a stooge. You know what I mean? I got a fucking whole thing on. It is awesome. Whenever I bet you Jimmy Sexton is – everybody who has a brain will obviously try not to display it at its highest capability in front of a group of humans. You know, mm-hmm. Like that is not a good place to be. That is not a good person to be. But, boy – whenever everybody thinks you're the dumbest human in the room, you can get a lot accomplished. And I assume Jimmy Sexton has taken over the entire SEC. He's almost all football. Why don't you tell his story? I can't wait to read it in the Daily Coach.
Yeah, I should. I need to write about him in the Daily Coach. I really do. I need to talk about, you know, because he's a guy that truly, you know, there's an old saying, the world gets out of the way for people that know where they want to go. And he knew where he wanted to go. And the world's got to, you know, and he's changed the, you know, he did. And he's got great personality to become friends with these guys, you know, whether it's Greg Sankey, the SEC director, or the ADs. And he uses that friendship and he uses his knowledge to great contracts. I mean, the contract he got for Joe Douglas at the New York Jets, first time general manager, making $3 million a year, seriously?
6 years.
6 years? Yeah, seriously? I mean, that's like AD Hall of Fame right there.
Michael, speaking of GMs, I wanted to ask you why is Lewis Riddick getting so many interviews for GM?
I think people see him on television. They hear him talk. You know, I'm writing about it tomorrow for The Athletic. I think it's going to be interesting to see what Lewis does because everybody has this idea that when you're the GM, you're in charge of the team. The NFL's not baseball. The GM might have the title. Mike Mayock has the title of general manager in Oakland, right? Okay. And I like Mike. Mike lives on 40th Street here in Ocean City. I like Mike a lot. But Mike doesn't tell John Gruden what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't work for Mike. Mike works for John. John makes $100 million, $10 million a year. Mike doing his gig, but he doesn't have all the authority to do whatever he wants to do. So would Riddick take one of those kind of jobs? See, that's the question. Do you take that? Do you partner with somebody? Do you split the duties? Those are hard things in football. Owners like to split the duties because when you split the duties, then somebody needs to go to the owner for – to decisions.
Well, so I don't know how much do you know? Like I assume the Fords probably aren't hands on as far as making player personnel decision. I don't know if Khan is either down in Jacksonville, do you?
Well, yeah, no, I mean Tony Khan, the son's always been involved. I mean he's always involved. He says he's not, but he's involved. He's that Southern lawyer that says I'm not real smart, but he's involved, you know. but I think it all depends on how you're going to define the roles, and I think that's going to be the challenge. And I truly believe the model that's most successful is hire the coach if he's a head coach, right? Let the coach run the team, and then let the coach hire the guy that fits him perfectly. Sean McDermott hired Brandon Bean. You know, Andy Reid's got Brett Beach. You know, Pete Carroll hired John Schneider. And then those two together, they collaborate. Now, they don't necessarily have to be friends, but they have to have mutual respect. And here's the key part. They've got to understand the NFL. Why do these relationships between GM and coach break up? Because typically, the GM doesn't truly understand the NFL. He thinks he does because he college scouts. But the college game and the pro game are as different as A is to D. I mean, they're just way different. And so if you don't understand the plight of the coach and understand the league, you have a hard time being the general manager for the coach.
This is wild because you, as a former player getting into a GM role, I kind of, you know, I'm hoping that he gets a gig because it is a former player, Lewis Riddick. But I think what I've learned most is how like, what GMs have full control? Is there any GMs that have more control than the coach?
Well, you know, let's say Green Bay, Mark Murphy has all the control. Both the coach and the head, both the coach and the general manager report to him. So, like,
for what decisions? What decisions? Draft picks, trades.
I mean, I think when you look at, like, Chris Ballard probably has control in Indianapolis, but Chris is smart enough to know that he needs to get Frank Wright involved, and he's going to have to make good decisions and help Frank. I think they work as a partnership, and he doesn't have to exercise his authority as being in total control. Ryan Pace is in total control in Chicago. I mean, there's, you know, he has it in his contract. That's what he does. I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Wow. How's that go in the contract? It just says final vote is his?
You know, the general manager's in charge of all football operations from coaching, scouting. You know, I mean, some GMs, they want authority on who the coach is going to hire as the assistant coaches.
I think Colbert and Tomlin pretty much work hand in hand.
They do. They do. They work hand in hand and by the owner's roles, and neither of them steps on the other's toes, and they both work together. Colbert does a great job of being in the background, working for the coach, letting the coach know what he needs to know and understanding the pro game.
Are you surprised Dimitroff is getting interviews too?
No, I think that, you know, remember this, election, everybody gets elected, not selected.
What does that mean? What do you mean by that exactly?
If you control the media, if you have media in your corner, Jay Glazer calls the owner, or Jay Glazer will tell you that he's gotten a lot of guys head coaching jobs.
He'll say a lot of things.
Jay Glazer told a story about him and Peyton Manning getting into a fight. I wish I would have been there for that. That's interesting, though, the elected, not selected thing. And then the council or the third-party groups that make decisions for people. It's crazy once you get a peek behind the curtain a little bit.
Right, and I think the other thing too, Pat, though, is for most players and most people in football, there's a huge difference between being a scout and being a team builder. That's a big difference. A lot of people can scout a player. I think that's a good player. But who can build a team? That's a unique set of qualifications that require you to understand the pro game completely. Team building is different than scouting.
And by the way, that's something that I've been pretty – and Jonathan Taylor, we talked about it with him the other day, how cornhole has brought that team together. It's like that camaraderie thing for a team is one of the biggest X factors when it comes to winning and losing. And people never talk about it, ever.
You know, you hit this with Aaron on the show all the time. Like, I mean, I Gutekunst, the GM up at Green Bay, I mean, he's got Rodgers at a time when he needed to help Rodgers, and he drafts a backup quarterback who I defended him for, and he drafts a backup running back, you know, and he's got no help from no one. And his team has the first, it might be the first seed in the NFC. He's gotten fortunate. That goes back to how do we want to build this team around Aaron?
Mike, you talk about how you're too honest to be hired as a GM again. Has anyone reached out to you beyond any of these advisory committees to hire a GM or coach?
Not a chance. I get a lot of basketball phone calls. I'm big in the basketball world.
What?
Yeah.
I'm big in the basketball world. What does that even mean? How does that even happen?
I talk to more basketball coaches on a daily basis than I do football coaches.
Where's Jimmy Harden going?
You know what? Did you see what kind of shape he's in?
Hey, that was an interesting photo, man. I thought there was a chance. It was just bad angle. That's all it was. He's been training in Vegas and Atlanta.
Angles. I look at my angles on your show every day.
A triple double with cheese,
bro.
I don't look at the Mexican diet pills. Nobody's contacting me about. I can't believe that. Anyway,
where do you think he's going?
I think if he goes anywhere, he's got to go to Philly. Philly has the assets to get him if they're willing to part with whether it's Embiid or Simmons.
I would give up Simmons to get Harden any day of the week. Unless Simmons learns how to shoot, what's he going to do?
What are you saying there, dude? You think Jimmy Harden's going to win?
I think you have a better chance to win with Harden than you ever do with Simmons.
Isn't Embiid like kind of hit or miss?
He just can't stay healthy.
That's why he's hit or miss.
To me, that would be the one I would, because I would be worried about Embiid being here for 5 years.
Okay. All right, I want to do something here. Moving on.
Great transition.
Big basketball show.
Yeah. Dogs getting money. There's four dogs who are getting the majority of the money this weekend.
God damn it.
And I want to see if anyone is interested in taking them. The first one is the Eagles. Let me see if I can find it here. The Eagles are plus 6.5, and they are getting 57% of the money against the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona.
I think something we've overlooked is how well the Eagles' defense has actually been playing, no matter how bad Wentz has been.
Oh, interesting take.
I think Schwartz has done a really good job. I mean, I know they gave up the big run 2 weeks ago in Green Bay, that kind of, but I think that Eagle defense is, I think you got to be a really good offensive coach to beat Schwartz in this thing.
This is very much an under game for me, by the way. I would not be surprised if I take this as one of my unders.
I like the Eagles too, though. Now, I understand why people are liking this, because the Cardinals are so hit or miss, like we were just talking about. You never know what you're going to get with them. And if Jalen Hurts, who had success, yeah, this is definitely an under game. A lot of running here. Clock's going to continue to spin. I'm intrigued by this. Maybe Kyler, though, will show up, because they are still in the playoffs right now. But if they lose, they're probably going to be out here. So it's a massive game for them. Massive game.
This is one of those ones that you bet either side, and no matter which way it goes, if you get it wrong, you go, well, I should have fucking known.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, I'll give it to you. My line on this, 6.62.
Oh, right on. So you'll be staying away from this one.
I mean, I'm out. I mean, I had the number perfect. I mean, I think it's perfectly set. I don't see how I should jump into this. I'll let somebody else do it.
Yeah.
I'll take care of that for you, Mike.
The next one is the Bengals are getting 13 at home against the Steelers. Opened at 12. It's up to 13, even though the Bengals are getting 93% of the money.
Michael? I mean, you really have the guts to. Have you watched this Bengal offense the last couple weeks?
It's incredibly bad.
Zach Taylor's incredibly bad. Coach, dude. Hey, how's he still have a job? Paizon, how's he still have a job? Nobody's even talking about Zach Taylor. Last year they were trying to win. They sucked.
I'll tell you how he has a job, because in the National Football League, your profits are not based on your one loss record.
Go on.
I was going
to
say
something. So Mike Brown, you know, it cost him money to fire Zach Taylor. He's making money with Zach Taylor. Why would I fire him?
Oh, my God. Isn't that a shame?
It's just the reality, you know?
Bring Marvin Lewis back.
If you can't see the direction of that franchise is going in the wrong way, you're blind.
Oh, I mean, Gumby just
I feel bad for Zach Taylor. He has no business having that job.
No, he had a sack lunch picnic with McVay and got a head coaching job.
I feel really bad for the guy. He's going to look back on this and say, you know, I really wasn't qualified.
Now it's kind of on
Lombardi,
him.
Lombardi, you're such a shit talker. Just an absolute burial of Zach Taylor right there.
Hey. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, he's won 4 games in 2 years. You know, I mean, like, you think he really understands what he gets to do daily to be – I mean, he's in the same chair that Bill Parcells operates from. Belichick, Joe Gibbs, great coaches. You think he has any idea what they have to – what their day's really like?
Andy
Reid.
He's looking at his playlist.
Dude. No, but hey, so, I mean, hats off. I mean, we talked about him being – mediocre and never winning a playoff game, but hats off from what Marvin Lewis did do there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now he's getting rumors of getting potential interviews for this upcoming season. You think he'll be an NFL head coach again?
Who, Marvin?
Yeah.
I think if he wants to, he's got a track record. He couldn't win a playoff game, but I think what he's done at Cincinnati, I think Cincinnati's a good job. I disagree with people about it, because Mike Brown runs it like a college program. The coaches scout, they're involved in personnel. The head coach is not only the head coach, he's also the general manager. He controls the team. And if he knows what to do in personnel and he can understand it, you can be really effective at it.
Yeah. No, you got no help, though. No indoor facility.
No indoor practice facility.
It's like 25 degrees.
Every job has negatives. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, I'm not saying as Bill Walsh used to say, the search for the perfect player never ends. The perfect job, you know, they don't give away homes in Beverly Hills. You know, you got to go get one. You know, you got to make it.
Next game is Bears plus 3.5 at the Minnesota Vikings. The Bears are getting 80% of the money.
Jesus. I'm against them on both of this here.
Yeah, I kind of like the Vikings.
Yeah, well, I like the Steelers. Yeah. I like the Steelers because I think bounce back game and Juju's dancing on logos still. Yeah, dancing on logos. Hey, chop them, do a little one of these things and then one of these things. And then, like, I think there's like one of those things that those dudes were going to run like in Area 51 whenever they were going to take it over. What's that called? When you run like this thing? It's called something.
Oh, else. I remember.
What's it called? Mitt knows what this is called. Mitt, what's that called? The running style.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like a Pokemon thing or something like that.
Oh, the Naruto running
style. There it is. Yeah, that's it. He does that in the dance and then the chop him dance, and they're going to win. I think they're going to win. In this one, I'm on the Vikings.
The fact that Juju admitted that he heard and saw that the Bills used it as potential extra motivation and then said, nah, I don't care. I'm going to keep dancing on other teams' logos.
I mean, it's his last year in Pittsburgh. He's going to get paid by somebody else.
Maybe. I mean, he's like 112th in yards per catch.
Jesus, dude. You did some stat finding today? Is that what you just did right
Double
there?
Double M of 105.9 The X does all the stat finding I need.
Lombardi, how do you feel about that? That's tough, you know, because I don't think the other team is like, you know, we're going to play harder this week because he does it, which they said that it did get him a little bit more riled up or whatever. But when you're doing that, you just got to think to yourself, like, this is probably pretty fucked up to be doing. But maybe that's the style player he wants to be, a pest, you know?
I mean, I get it. Maybe that's who they are. I don't know. I mean, for me, this game is, do you really trust MVP Mitch in this game? Do you really think, you know? I mean, I could see why people like the Bears. The Bears are three. The Bears have beaten them 4 games in the last 7. You know, they won the last. They lost the last game 19-30. You know,
cut the guy off.
Bears really don't make a lot of plays against them. I mean, I think MVP Mitch has averaged like 5 yards per attempt against the Viking defense. I mean, I get why it looks like it's tempting. I mean, I have it as a 1-point line. There's no way I would turn that card in.
Hey, I mean, this is a playoff game.
These I mean, the Vikings very well could have won that game against the Bucs. Like, they owned that game most of the first half.
They had about 39 minutes in the game.
That's absurd to have that and lose.
Why? I mean, they missed 3 field goals. I mean, it kills you.
Is he's got to be cut, right? He's been cut? He has not been cut?
Still there.
Oh, Jesus. They're going to make him go through it again?
You're going to trot him out there.
Bro.
But Zimmer didn't – I mean, they could easily cut him on Saturday. Zimmer didn't – I don't know if they have a guy on the practice squad or not. Zimmer did not say he was the kicker for sure.
Jesus. I bet you Dan Bailey's like, come on, just fucking get me out of here, dude. This is tough. Or maybe he bounced back. Hey, maybe he starts knocking them through. You know, maybe – I hope he does.
All it takes is one.
I like the Vikings, though.
And then quickly, the last one is +8.5. The Panthers are at Lambeau. They're getting 63% of the money, which is surprising to me.
That's Teddy Bridgewater as a dog, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those numbers.
Yeah.
8. I have this as a 5.25 game.
Oh, so you would also be on the Panthers then?
Yeah.
Bridgewater 16-2 against the spread as a road dog. 20-4 against the spread as an underdog in his career.
Don't move the ball on Green Bay. The problem is Carolina can make you punt.
Yeah, they're a terrible defense right now.
Hey, well, you know, the big thing is Matt Rhule said he might wear a trench coat.
I saw that.
Like old Lombardi on the sideline. Everybody doesn't think he can pull it off. I like Rhule, by the way.
You love Rhule. Rhule's so good.
I got a chance to talk to him a couple times, you know, because we did a couple Baylor games or whatever, and he was always so cool. He said, I'm a boring coach, okay, but we just do our football and we just keep it moving, basically, is what he said. I like what he's been able to do. Carolina's got to be pumped. McCaffrey's not playing?
No, he's out.
Mike Davis has been a solid fill-in.
I think you have to look at this year, no matter what happens, to finish the season as a success for the Panthers.
I think so too.
I mean, how many games have they had the ball in the final drive of the game with a chance to win it or tie it?
Minnesota, the Chiefs,
Carolina,
the Chargers. No, I'm saying against Minnesota, against the Chiefs, I believe against the Chargers. Yeah, they've had a bunch of
Bears put them in there.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the NFC South. Future here. I mean, there's a lot of question marks going forward.
Yep.
All right, let's get to tonight's game because I don't know what the fuck I'm even doing yet.
Me neither, by the way.
Chargers.
What's the record?
Mitt, you toss those up, please.
Just like
28.
Diggs making a run at it, Diggs. Look at you.
Yeah, well, I've decided to stick to unders, and it's worked out.
Stick to what you know, my friend.
Stick to what you know.
But you've been making a run here.
I was close to getting to 500. Shit the bed last week.
You did shit.
Yeah, me too, Gump.
Hey, it's all right. You guys are going to get hot this week, boys. This is the week we all get hot. This is the week we all get hot.
All right, Chargers at Raiders. It's currently 3.5. 56% of the bets are on the Raiders. 54% of the money is on the Raiders.
God damn it.
Raiders have 4 defensive starters. And Ruggs is at. Mike Williams, I believe, is not going to play. We don't know about Keenan Allen. Who's a running back that I can't think? Austin Eckler is going to play. Mike, what do you think about tonight's game?
You know, I mean, I had this game as on my sheet. I have it as the Chargers should be a favorite by 0.24. And when you put the line in at 3.5, that and a total of 2.5, that you got to take the Chargers. I think at 3.5, you got to take the Chargers. And here comes the big but. But you're counting on your hard-earned money and Anthony Lynn managing. I mean, that's like telling Bernie Madoff you're going to let him do your portfolio. And go back. I watched the other game again this morning, right? So they dominated the other game. That the last time they played, the Raiders had 160 yards passing, 160 yards rushing. The Chargers controlled the ball almost 34 minutes. They moved the ball. They had the lead at one point in the game. They were up. They were up 17-14. Then they go ahead and turn around and give it up. And, you know, they make it 28-26, and they go for two, don't get it. And then, of course, they can't stop the Raiders from kicking a field goal to put the game away. So, you know, for me, I think it's a field goal game. I think that if you like the Chargers, you can't do it at 3. You got to do it at 3.5.
Jesus. Dumpy.
What are you doing, dude? Because what you're about to say here is about to change a lot of my thoughts, too. I just looked at Zito's poll, dude. I'm trying to figure this out. I'll lay everything out.
Chargers 4-1 against the spread their last 5 Thursday games. Chargers 1-6 against the spread their last 7 overall.
Jesus.
1-7-1 against the spread their last 9 versus AFC West. Raiders 6-0 against the spread last 6 versus AFC West. Raiders 5-2 against the spread their last 7 versus AFC. Road team in this matchup, 9-3 against the spread, and the underdog is 17-6 against the spread last 23 meetings. I watched that whole Colts-Raiders game. That game was close until the fourth quarter. I think people are overreacting because the Raiders have looked like shit after being a good team, and I don't think the Chargers are that good with Tony Lynn handling things. I'll lay the 3.5 with the Raiders at home.
Okay, Pep, where do you want me to go?
Who did Lombardi pick? He didn't pick anybody.
He said he would
go
Chargers.
I didn't pick anybody. I said if I had to take it, I got to take the Chargers based on my board. I haven't said I'm taking it. I mean, if you're gonna hold a gun to my head, I'm taking the Chargers.
You're going to take Tony a gun Lynn, to your dude. Head with Tony Lynn at the helm?
I'm with Bernie Madoff. I'm over here. You know, hey, Bernie, go ahead. I'll see you. Send me those statements at the end of the month.
I'll go for you if you want some more time, Pep.
I just don't know what to do here. You know what I mean? Like, this is a tough one for me.
If it was on a Sunday, it's a stay away.
Correct.
But on this show, you have to make picks.
That's what we do.
You have to make picks. So whenever you bet these things, I would like everybody to remember that this is a game we probably would not bet if we had to bet it.
Correct.
That's what we do is make picks.
Right. So if that's the case, if you put that out as a lovely caveat, I'll take the charge.
I almost want to take the over, too.
Well, here,
the over?
Here you go, Gumpy. 67% of the money is on the over. So you think the over would go from 55 to maybe 56 or 57?
Sharps are on the undie.
It didn't. The under has dropped to 52.5.
New D coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a psycho for taking this, but I'm going to take the under 52.5.
I like it.
I was going to go. I like it. That's where I was going to head. Because of how good you've been doing on the unders. It feels like Tony Unders is getting hot.
I mean, nothing really says that it's going to go under except for this little money movement. So, I mean, if money movement's going towards the under, I'll fucking take it.
Yeah, because you know that they're going to win money at some point.
So I did my show today, and the Vinny Maiula, who runs the sports book at the South Point, desperately needs the Chargers tonight to win.
Hey, I'm sure. So all the sports books need the Chargers. That's what you're saying.
All the sports book, which, as I said to him, you know, Anthony Lynn, and you know that's a boat. I don't know if I want to be in, but that's the boat we're both in.
Hey, what is that guy's name?
Vinny Maiula.
What you call him?
Tony Gabagool.
That's unbelievable that's what Gumpy called him. You know what I mean?
He's from Pittsburgh, too. You guys would love all the guys at the South Point are from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we got a chance to talk to
Chris Andrews.
Yes. Yeah, Chris Andrews. He's a good guy. Good conversation. Yeah,
all those guys are great guys there. They have a hot dog cart right by the sports book. It's the best hot dog cart you ever had. Lady has just like mustard, ketchup, relish, onion. That's it. Dollar a dog. Boom. She's killing.
There's a guy in Morgantown, the hot dog guy. He has survived generations down there on High Street. And I'll tell you what, when he put that nacho cheese on that hot dog for me at about 2:33 a.m. walking through Morgantown, my life changed immediately. I'm going with the Raiders.
Okay. Trust the gut. Trust the gut. It was the first thing you said this morning.
Under is 23-8, Raiders last 31 versus AFC West. 6-2, Raiders last 8 games as a home favorite.
I'm going Raiders and under. I'm going Raiders and under.
I love it.
All right.
Split house, huh?
Split house.
Got a split house tonight.
Hold on, I didn't hear. When did you go?
The under.
Tony under.
Taking the under. The under,
I'll die with John Gruden. I'm fine with that.
Me too.
Bro, love you, bro.
Yeah, I think he's picking the Chargers strictly because the sports books told him.
Oh, Mike?
We need a Chargers. Because the last time somebody said, like, they talked to somebody at a sports book, they said they needed the underdogs or something. Remember, that was the week where there was five back doors at the end for the underdog all at the end.
I'll tell you this right now. Here's what they need. The Browns, 96% of the vote, 96 of the money on the Browns. The Bills, 90. The Chiefs, 89. The Dolphins, 88.
So I found a funny stat this year. Teams after playing the Chiefs, the game after, 2-9 against the spread.
Look at that, dude. That's a fucking hell of a stat, dude. Dive deep into there for that ball.
And Belichick against rookie quarterback. I mean, I love the Finns. We need a win. But
do you see him in McVay after the game, Mike?
I didn't. I read something about it. I heard he said he kicked our ass or something.
Yeah, he said you guys kicked our ass. Pretty cool little moment there between Belichick and McVay. I assume McVay's very pumped about that piece of content living forever.
I know this. When they got back to New England, and they all had to watch the tape together, so I'm sure it was bothered him.
The whole team or the whole coaching staff?
Coaching staff.
Hey, why don't you guys come on in and we'll watch this together.
Pat, those would be the greatest. That would be the greatest 4 hours of your life.
I picture Belichick rolling out like an old 28 RCA on a trolley.
Now he sits there, he runs the thing, and, you know, like, what are we doing here? So good. It's so good. We'll get back to him in a minute. That's one of his great lines. We'll get back to him in a minute.
Hey, what's going on? We'll get back to that in a minute here. Because next play, something's coming. That would be awesome.
All right, Mike. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Have a good one, Mike.
See you, Mike.
Hey, send us your
Yep, well.
And he's a quick trigger.
That's because he's got Vinny Gabagool waiting.
Fucking Tony Gabagool. Vinny fucking dollar hot dogs.
What's Gabagool mean? Am I allowed to say that?
It's a salami. Yeah, it's like, I mean.
It's said like five times a show in The Sopranos. Yeah, it's the best.
That's some Gabagool.
You know, I might get into that show next now that I watch shows.
Prosciutto and Gabagool.
Dude, yeah, it is unbelievable.
I love it.
Speaking of Gabagool.
Bubba Ganoush.
I told you guys Lombardi was going to be on the Chargers, and here we are. What do you have it at? He had them at what, -0.25 points?
Yeah, but I mean.
He said they had him favored.
Lombardi's also been cold like me, dude.
Yeah, Lombardi's been cold like you guys, but you've been hot in college basketball. You were fucking 3-0 with dogs last night.
Oh, yeah.
Those dogs were barking. Come on, Gump.
What's old buddy's name that bets on everything?
Oh, Greg Peterson?
Greg Peterson.
He's a wild Greg man. Peterson. Greg Hoops.
Gumpy's trying to do that with college basketball. He bets on more fucking games a night than I've ever seen in my life. You're betting like 10, 11 games a night.
I bet 10 throughout the day, probably 4 footy, 6 college basketball. Just got to find the dogs. St. Joe's +2.5 against the Drexel Dragons tonight.
That's a lock?
Oh, yeah.
It's a lock. You're betting on these college basketball players.
Fuck are you doing in here, Connor? What do you want to talk
about?
Why is Gabagool?
I got a nice let's go hunting parlay tonight, okay?
Okay.
And we're not hunting for, you know, points. You know, I said Chargers 3.5, obviously. It's lock. But we're hunting for touchdowns. Hunter Renfro, touchdown. Parlayed with Hunter Henry, touchdown. And, of course, Justin Herbert hunting the Raiders secondary. Parlay +1604, 10 to win $160. You're a fool if you don't take this parlay tonight. Let's go hunting, boys. Come on.
Let's go.
Woo!
Let's go. the license. Boom,
boom, boom. That was your H cubed parlay.
Yeah,
there.
Triple H.
Quad. But you did great right there, I thought.
That was good.
Come on.
Hey, that was really good.
Let's hunt.
You delivered it too.
That's
hey,
Hunt.
Connor hit that Baker Mayfield touchdown big
hell
one
yeah,
on Monday
we
night.
Did.
Yeah, what you hit for 100 for 1,000.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I might throw in a little bit. What's Herbert to score the first touchdown in the game?
Ooh, Tony.
Hey, you know, FanDuel always has those super boosts that are just sitting up there as the boost. They seem to hit a lot. It feels like those hit on a regular basis. Foxy plays those every single night.
They also have, like, featured parlays. I like this one tonight, boys. Austin Eckler to have 150 scrimmage yards and score 2 touchdowns. You doing?
Herbert to score the first touchdown is plus 2,500.
Exactly. Feed him.
I like those odds. I'm taking it right now.
There you go.
Plus 2,500. How much you can put on her?
Probably 25.
I'll put a hunch on.
Come on, Tony.
Come on, Tony.
Live a little.
Let's live a little.
Bank account's running low.
Yeah, but live a little.
It's the holidays.
It's the holidays.
Run that thing dry, dude.
It's week 15. We only got a few more weeks.
Yeah,
run that thing dry.
Save the bankroll for the playoffs, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Week 15?
Here we go.
Fucking plus. What if that hits? You're going to be so mad, dude.
Nah, I mean, I'll be happy.
No, because your playoff bankroll could have. It's always the what could have been.
True. Bigger.
You know what I mean?
Merry Christmas, you know?
Happy New Year. 2021. How you doing? Vaccine, I guess, coming.
Let's go.
All right, I'll put 50 on.
Oh! Hey, don't let us bully you into don't let us bully you into
it. Spine, dude.
Yeah, I know, but now you're going to lose the 50. But you know what? Connor said he'll pay you back. You lose.
No, thanks, no, I won't pay you back.
This is Connor insurance.
Return.
This is Connor insurance,
no,
he said.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I'm sure FanDuel's offering some parlay insurance, though,
always
Tony.
Do.
Always do. Right, that's not what that bet is, though, by the way.
No, it's not.
That's Connor Insurance, by the way.
All right, we'll thanks, Colin.
Yeah, I'll get you a pizza or something.
Oh, gabagool.
Pizza. Gabagool. Give me some gabagool.
Pepperoni.
All right, thanks for listening, Ken. Thank you enough. Send everything in to @HammerDon on Instagram and Twitter. Good follow. Good follow. I mean, Gumpy's tweeting out all the highlights.
It's awesome.
All the stats. Everything you need to know. Can't thank you enough. We'll be back tomorrow at 3:30. If you don't catch us on YouTube, gets released as a podcast right after. Hammer.
Done. Done.